You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everyone. So, Celeste, it's time to get another view of the financial crisis, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, I'm,
And this morning we're going to turn to, if not the most credible, then perhaps one of the most famous figures in the financial world.
So what about money, Jake? You like her?
I like her. I've never thought about money as a she.
Oh. She lies there in bed at night with you, looking at you, one eye open. Money never sleeps. And she's jealous. And if you don't pay close attention, you wake up in the morning, she might be gone forever.
Classic view of money there, kind of creepy
view
of money.
Makes your skin crawl, exactly. Doesn't it?
Which can only mean it's from the movie Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, the Oliver Stone sequel to the original Wall Street. Unfortunately, Celeste, you know, Gordon Gekko wasn't available because he's not real. But he is returning to the investment banking world just in time to see it crash and burn in this new flick. And, of course, he benefits from it crashing and burning. Gordon Gekko not here, but we did manage to find Louise Story, who covers the real Wall Street for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Louise.
Good morning.
Also, Movie Date podcast co-hosts Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer are also here to share their opinions of the movie, if not the financial system. Rafer, Kristen, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Louise, let's just start with you. Does Oliver Stone get Wall Street right, whether you like this movie or not?
You know, he packages a ton of stuff from the financial crisis, real events that happened, like selling Bear Stearns for $2 a share and the bailout. And it's really interesting to see it all woven together. But he has a real ambivalence about Wall Street's place in our culture, which I think reflects what everyone's wondering. He has Gordon Gekko come back and write a book that's called Is Greed Good? ? And at the end of this movie, it's really unresolved whether greed is good or not.
Is that a good idea for a movie, good premise for a movie, Rafer Guzman, or doesn't it work?
I don't think the whole thing works, partly because this Gordon Gekko character, I don't think Oliver Stone can figure out quite what to do now that he's brought this Gordon Gekko character back into the new world. He's not sure whether he's supposed to be a folk hero or sort of a prophet of doom, or whether he's still just a con man, or whether he's, you know, become sort of an aging guy who's now finding that his heart is melting. It's really difficult to tell what he's supposed to represent in this movie.
In a sense, he has the same problem figuring out what to do with Darth Vader that George Lucas had to figure out with Star Wars.
Kristen,
what did you think?
I thought it was boring. I thought it went on an hour too long. I thought the relationships were completely impossible to believe. The editing looked like it was done on a Commodore 64.
Tell
us what you really think, Kristen. So, aside from all of the issues with the plot itself, that's how I felt about the movie.
All right, well, so there seems to be some consensus that the movie isn't great, but Oliver Stone always is trying to connect with something he believes is culturally significant. You think he partially succeeded, Louise, even if the movie is kind of boring. He's got it right in the sense that Wall Street is very much on our minds right now.
That's right. I mean, I think that this is a success as a document of cultural fabric. Whether or not, you know, an average moviegoer is captivated is one thing, but, you know, people into the financial crisis will dissect this for decades to come. It's a very interesting statement on our culture.
And some of the analysts may actually see themselves on screen. Listen.
My next guest, Gordon Gekko, was one of the biggest names on Wall Street in the 80s before he went to prison for insider trading and securities fraud. The man himself is here with us. Gordon, good to have you on the program.
Thank you, Marie. It's nice to be
here. Turn it off.
Yes, sir.
Must tell you, your show is a big, big hit in the can.
All right, you can fade that down, Jay.
You watched it in prison.
So who did they get to play Maria Bartiromo, Rafer?
It's her. They're all her. Jim Cramer's in it. They're all there.
What does that say, Kristen?
It says that it's trying to speak to real financial issues. It's really trying to, but it's not keeping all of the stories straight. I think that it's not acknowledging the fact that, for example, real estate people are painted as kind of bumbling bad guys, but they don't acknowledge the fact that the banks are what bundled all the loans in the first place. They're really confused in how the reality should be mixing with the fiction that's in the film, actually.
Oliver Stone is in it as well.
Part of the confusion, Rafer, probably comes from Oliver Stone's surprise after the first one over people's reaction to Gordon Gekko. He expected that to be a real, true Gordon Gekko was a villain, dyed in the wool, con man who got this guy in trouble, and then people ended up liking him.
Yeah, my secret theory is that, you know, a lot of people have said that Wall Street was the movie that inspired them to go into the business, and I keep thinking that, well, if those are the guys that led us into the condition that we're in now, maybe Oliver Stone is actually to blame for the recession. that's my secret theory.
We've got Rafer Guzman, our takeaway movie critic, and also a critic for Newsday, Louise Story from the New York Times, and Kristen Meinzer, who joins Rafer on the podcast each week, Movie Date. So before we go, our listeners have actually been helping us all out and helping Oliver Stone out with the idea of what's next for greed. Greed's always going to be around, but what word goes with greed if there is going to be a sequel to the sequel?
Good morning, guys. It's Hector. Greed is inevitable. A clear conscience is priceless.
I like that. That's pretty good. And we've got more of those. You can go to thetakeaway.org and weigh in yourself at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Louise, what about, you know, we love to look at continuity mistakes in movies. Did he get something significantly wrong in terms of the way banks operate? Or, you know, did he use the word derivative when he should have used something else?
The big things are accurate. I mean, some people are criticizing one of the trading screens they put on as being a bit outdated. The traders don't really use that. But, you know, the big details are accurate. But one thing, you know, Rafer and I were talking about earlier, though, that is a little perplexing is the major plot here centers around insider trading, which was really the big scandal and wrongdoing on Wall Street in the 1980s.
In the 80s, right.
And the major plot does not center around the scandal and perhaps wrongdoing that happened in this crisis around packaging loans that people knew were really bad, around fooling the rating agencies, around shorting things and selling things to short that you knew were bad. So
That movie remains to be done. Louise Story, thanks so much. The takeaway here is Oliver Stone is so 80s. We kind of knew that. Rafer Guzman, thanks so much. And Kristen Meinzer of the podcast Movie Date, which you can find at thetakeaway.org. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.